Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Patrick's, and Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Pat's. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen.
Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, we have a happy topic. We're going to talk about heaven, what it is, how to get there, why it's so awesome. So heaven's a place, a happy place. So let's start with a great joke that Father Steve told me right before we came into the studio today.
This joke was actually told to me by an old Dominican of happy memory who had a great sense of humor. In the joke, a great Dominican preacher and a taxi cab driver from New York both arrive in the pearly gates on the same day. And the preacher is welcomed in with some nice choruses of alleluias, and he's given a staff with a silver knob on the top of it, and he's escorted to a very decent home, you know, on one of the side streets of heaven. And the preacher's very happy to be there, but he can't help noticing that just behind him, the taxi driver gets this amazing fanfare of trumpets and the full choir of angels, and he gets a staff with a diamond knob, and he's shown to this glorious mansion right on the main street of heaven. And the preacher, after all that is starting to die down, he pulls St. Peter aside and he said, "St. Peter, now please don't get me wrong. I'm very, very happy to be here. This is the whole goal of my life, but I've been giving my whole life to God and preaching for the salvation of souls, and that guy was just like driving a taxi cab in New York City." And St. Peter smiled and said, "My son, you see, while you preached, people slept. While he drove, people prayed."
All right, so hopefully a fun way to start on heaven, but let's start with a question. Is heaven real? A lot of people will say, well, heaven's just a fantasy that Christians have created. When you die, that's it. How do we know that there is a heaven? Father Jerome?
Well, I would advise, just like I would if someone was asking, is hell is real, just Google the Bible on heaven. the alternate case, the Bible on hell. But you can see, I think that's great. You can see at a glance many passages on heaven. And the one that I think is clearest of all, there's a few. Actually, I'd take St. Paul and St. John together. St. Paul says, St. Paul says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him." Our Lord says there are many mansions in heaven. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you," and there are, as was referred to in that joke, different places in heaven. He's personally preparing a place for each of us who will arrive in heaven. And St. John says, we will know God, we will see God, and know him even as we are known. So we won't have... we won't behold God as he is, infinite. Only God knows himself fully as he is, infinitely so. But we will see him and know him so perfectly that we will know him even as we are known in him. And we will be known in him, especially in grace in heaven, to the extent that we love. To the extent that we love him and others in his same love, we will both know him and share in his happiness. And what is that like? Well, again, I mean, you can take the happiest you've ever been on life and multiply it by 1,000, but again, as Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for him.
And ultimately, the whole arc of God's revelation to us concerns heaven, and that if Jesus came to save us, he came to save us from death. And that means that there must be something after death, or else there is no, what did Jesus save us from if we all just die? And so what Jesus has done by giving us salvation is an invitation to live in the life of the Trinity, to live in God's own house, God's own place, to live in community with God himself. And that's the invitation to heaven. It's not so much a fancy place, but to live with God himself. And that's the offer made to all of us. And the most important decision each of us make in this life is whether we take God up on that offer or not.
Yeah, each one of us is Aristotle would point this out, and I think most people would agree, we're made to desire happiness. We're made to seek something the outside of ourselves. And that happiness, that desire for happiness, is what motivates all of our decisions in one way or another. And we might, you know, when we're really little, sometimes we think that what will make us supremely happy is not the same thing we think when we're adults. I think when I was a really little kid, I thought supreme happiness would be playing video games all day and eating pizza and maybe jelly beans too.
I still like the pizza.
But when you get older, you realize, well, you know, that really wouldn't be, you know, complete happiness. And that could get kind of dreary after a while. But as you grow, as you increase your capacity for love, as you increase your capacity for appreciating what is truly good, what is truly beautiful, your understanding of what would really make you happy also grows and changes. And heaven is what would make us supremely happy. And that is why heaven is not simply things, you know, but it's communion. It's communion with God himself, as Father Boniface was saying.
So when you see depictions of heaven on TV, usually it's white clouds and maybe a harpist and people lounging around with plenty of free time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a pretty paltry understanding of heaven. That would actually be quite boring, I think, just hearing harpists all day and just hanging out. What makes heaven a place of infinite joy is that you see God, directly. And that means that you see the source of all goodness. Like everything in this world that you like, everything in this world that you enjoy or like to spend time with, any source of goodness that you enjoy in any of those activities comes from God. And what you see in heaven and seeing God is the source of all beauty, all truth, all happiness, all everything. And so you have a joy that cannot even be described in any human language or conceived of in this world, because we only see the things God created. In heaven, you see the source of all those things directly. And so that's why Paul tells us, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. We can't even conceive of the joy that we will find in heaven, because it transcends, it's beyond anything in this world that we've ever experienced.
Yeah, and you know, it is true, the primary image in Scripture for heaven is, you know, the wedding banquet, in Revelation, the church is prepared as a spotless bride for her husband. And, you know, that's the image given from the beginning to the end in Scripture. And, you know, and a great image that we have is someone, you know, falls in love with another person and really, their courtship is basically time on earth, and heaven is like living ever happily ever happily ever after with the person or the three persons who one is like, once we finally see God, to know him is to love him. I mean, we just, to really know him fully, it's like being completely in love. It's just a dark image of that kind of happiness that comes from being one forever with your real beloved. We just, again, we can't imagine it, but that's the primary image given to us. So, you know, here you see how happy the saints are to be one with Christ, even on the cross. Like, they rejoice in their sufferings because they're one with him in horrible, horrific suffering. Now just imagine that same union, but with every other good possible.
Yeah, I like that image, that image of all the joy somebody feels in the first flush of love, all that joy and happiness is but the palest intimation of the joys of heaven. It was like when I was little, I really loved hot dogs and tater tots. and then I came to realize things like ribeye and cheesecake are a lot better, much better. Well, even infinitely more than that, is heaven better than that first flush of love on earth?
With hot dogs.
Hot dogs are good, but they're not ribeye steak.
Ribeyes, yes.
All right, so with heaven, are there different levels to heaven?
Yes. You know, St. Thomas, you know, in his language, explains that, you know, it's our capacity to see God and to be one with him is in heaven and is entirely determined by the charity, the love that charity is to love as Christ loves. Again, that new commandment he gives us, I command you to love one another as I have loved you. To the extent that we have that charity, that's charity within our souls, that determines our place in heaven and our capacity for happiness. St. Teresa of Avila, I believe, is the one who really talks about that, the capacity that is determined by that. And she said, you know, it can be like, imagine different things having different capacities, like a thimble has a certain capacity to hold a certain amount of water, let's say. That can be compared to like a pool or a lake or even the ocean itself. There's a huge difference in capacity to love based on how much we love. That determines our capacity to see and know God and be one with him in heaven.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined today in the studio with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Patrick's. And we've been talking about heaven, and more specifically, we've been talking about how good your seats can be in heaven. Jesus tells us there are many mansions. Some are little, some are huge. Many seats. Some are backbenchers, some have box seats. And what Father Jerome was just telling us is that what really determines where you are in heaven is how much you love. It's charity that distinguishes. So everyone's fully happy, but the question is, how much capacity for love and therefore happiness do you have? And so that's why the heart of the spiritual life is to grow in charity, because what you're doing is growing in your ability to see and know God and therefore getting better seats in heaven.
That's something that's always kind of bothered me a little bit, the fact that, you know, there's different levels in heaven. And I know that's also true in the Paradiso and in Dante as well. You know, and like the joke that I told at the beginning of this program about the taxi driver and mm-hmm. the great Dominican preacher. You know, I mean, one thing we know for sure, obviously there's not envy in heaven.
No.
You know, it's not like the older son in the parable of the prodigal son is refusing to come in, you know, to the celebration because his wayward younger brother has just come home, has been welcomed back. Certainly there's none of that because envy implies scarcity, you know. Like with the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, you know, like there's that there's this innate sense that, well, you know, if he's getting all this, this great celebration, then that's somehow taking away from me, or that there's somehow a limit to what the Father can give to his mm-hmm. sons. But it's obviously not true. I mean, heaven is completely unlimited. And so, I mean, it still bothers me a little bit, you know, when you think about levels in heaven. I can see it in a positive sense that you want to increase your capacity, but it just still bothers me a little that you're like...
The way I see it is that Jesus says that he's creating a mansion specifically for each of us. And so God in heaven has prepared a place for each of us, and that place is set where we can be the person we were created to be. And so there's difference, but that difference was intended by God to give greater glory to the communion of saints. And nobody's upset about where they are because it was a place that God created them to hold. And so you realize yourself most perfectly in that sphere of heaven in which God places you. And so how would you be upset? Because you're in the place that was created specifically for you from all eternity. So there's no jealousy there.
Right. What is it? I mean, it's been a long time since I've read the Divine Comedy. What does Dante say about heaven and how they look at each other's levels in heaven?
Well, there's no envy, because envy is to see the glory of another person as somehow opposed to yours. Mm-hmm. Think of it, if you're truly good friends with somebody and something good happens to him, you take joy in that. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say, oh, why didn't that happen to me? And you take joy in it because you love that other person and want that other person's good, that person to succeed and flourish. And so you take joy in the glory of others. And so those people in the most remote parts of heaven, the spear of the moon in Dante, they take joy in the greatness of the other saints because it adds to the glory of the communion of saints. And because they're linked in love, it adds glory to themselves even. There's no competition, because the better, the more glorious each person is, that reflects onto you and increases your happiness directly.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better. Thank you, Dante.
One thing about heaven, which I often think about, is, you know, St. Thomas says that one reason we are not free necessarily, but one reason why we, for contingency, why we can choose one thing as opposed to another here on earth, even against what we know our ultimate happiness consists in, one reason why we can sin, basically, is because we can reflect on some aspect of something in, to be chosen in which it actually is better than something else. So, like, for example, procrastination. You know, there's that saying, hard work sometimes pays off later. Procrastination always pays off right now. So in virtue of reflecting on how procrastination always pays off right now, as opposed to hard work sometimes paid off later, you can choose it. You can focus on that and choose it. Even though in the end you regret choosing it. Well, in heaven, when we see God as he is, see him and know him even as we are known, there is no respect in which any other lesser good could surpass union with him. When we see the fullness of truth like that, we cannot be diverted from him in any way, even for a microsecond. So we cannot sin in heaven.
The way I usually hear that phrased is that people in heaven are incapable of sin. So how are they free if they're not free to choose sin?
Right.
And I think that rests, putting it that way, in a misunderstanding of freedom.
Uh-huh.
Freedom is always ordered to something. What we most deeply want is happiness and fulfillment. And what freedom allows us to do is it gives us the freedom to give ourselves in love, because it's only through love that we can find true happiness. So freedom's ordered to love and to happiness. And when you're in heaven and you see the source of love itself and happiness itself, then you have the freedom to always give yourself in love to God, to join in the divine processions almost, and to see, to give yourself in love and live in that inner life in the Trinity. So you're supremely free because your freedom is perfectly aligned to what is ultimately good for you, mm-hmm. and what you want to do and what you find fulfillment in. That is giving yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saved from is a mistake of freedom by using it to cut against your own good or to hurt yourself in some way. So you're, by not being able to sin, you're actually maximally free because mm-hmm. you're maximally ordered to love and to flourishing.
Yeah. No, I, yeah, exactly. I love that. I love thinking about that. It tells you what freedom is. I mean, freedom is the voluntary. One is totally free when they do whatever they want to do.
that sort of freedom, I call that Netflix freedom, and that if freedom is supposed to be ordered to flourishing and happiness, but some people say freedom is maximal choices. Keep your options open. And I always ask people, I say, okay, you're on Netflix or Amazon Prime or one of those, and you have all these options for movies, and you spend, what, 30, 40 minutes trying to find the perfect movie. Well, you have maximal freedom because you have enormous options, but nobody enjoys flipping through movie after movie after movie trying to find something to watch. That is not happiness. That's like, oh, when are we going to find something to watch? That's freedom not aligned to happiness. And that's not real freedom. What real freedom is finding, being able to give yourself in love and finding true happiness.
Yeah, but in heaven, that freedom to do whatever you want to do is fulfilled. Mm. I mean, they...
Netflix always has the right movie right away in heaven.
Yeah, well, in heaven, though, like, when we see God, we know ourselves and we know our own hearts and our deepest desires, finally. I mean, we don't right now. We don't know our own hearts right now. That's why we're able to sin. But in heaven, we will, seeing the fulfillment of all our desires, we will finally know ourselves in God.
All right, we have a couple minutes left. How about some tips on getting to heaven? I think that's of importance to all of us.
I think it's important, first of all, to think about what Our Lady said. She said, "Let it be done to me according to your will." Listening to God, giving Him the benefit of our doubts, trusting Him, seeking Him above all things, and if we can say that with our whole life. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we're going to share in that heaven. And and just one poem I really love that might sort of connect with this in terms of wanting to do God's will. There's a great poem by Francis Thompson called The Hound of Heaven. It's a long poem, but it's about a man who is kind of fleeing the Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven being someone who always seems to be chasing him through life, wanting him to turn to God, and the person flees him because the person thinks that he can find better delight in other things, whether in nature or in human relationships without God. But in the end, all of these things are gradually taken away. But in the end of the poem, God says, Christ says to the speaker, I've taken all of these things from you. And I'm just paraphrasing here, that seemed to be for your harm, only that you might find them in my arms. Whatever we choose instead of God, whatever we pursue instead of God in its fullness and its goodness is there in his arms if it is truly good. So I guess my short answer would be, how do we get to heaven? We always seek the will of God and imitate Our Lady.
Mm-hmm. And we can seek the will of God because God loves us. That's the first thing. And knowing that divine charity for us, we can trust God, we can hope in God, and then his grace will allow us to open ourselves in love to him. So that obedience to God is the obedience of love. It's an obedience of a desire for God, not an obedience of slavery. And so in accepting God's love, recognizing it, we can return that love and follow his will because we know from what he has told us in Revelation that his desire for us is to find perfect happiness in heaven, to live in that love for eternity.
Yeah, and to love God, and of course, the other great commandment, to love our neighbor, in which we do love God.
Mm. And it's fulfilled in the communion of saints in heaven. We're a community of perfect love. And so I exhort everyone out there to really accept that divine love into your life and to follow Jesus Christ, because through his grace, through what he did on the cross, he'll bring all of us together into that communion of saints in heaven, where we can enjoy perfect happiness for all eternity. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, the other parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and with Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Pat's. Now let us end in prayer. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.